So I figured that was an ideal way to come out of Matt Munro and go into our Ace London correspondent from, of course, the joys of Staines with Aisha and Zukov. Of course, we're talking about CaldorCity.com's creator, Alan Stevens. Are you there, Alan? Hey, Alan and Fiona, both
yes,
together.
I'm not too sure about being introduced as the Joys of Staines.
The Joys of Staines?
No, you can't hear the E, can you?
Oh, I don't know. Joys of Staines, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, being a Canadian girl, as what you are, Fiona, working at Royal Holloway College with all those academies, I mean, I would have thought Staines is right. I'd be all bales and pears, my girl. There you are, exactly.
It certainly isn't a London one.
Yeah, well, there you go. In the studio, you mean you haven't been listening online, Alan?
I just heard the last one as I tuned in thinking, when they rang me yet?
Oh, I see.
Some motor maze is still going.
Yeah, there we are. That's Michelle Munro. She's got that style, and we'll work through that. We have Dave Kenyon, and we have, of course, Joy Knight. And Dave, you had an interesting line about bone kickers, didn't you?
Did I?
Yes.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, mate.
Well, I was just saying that it had
mixed
what
reviews.
I think was are often known as mixed reviews. And many people in academia got hot under the collar
because
about it.
I believe that the upcoming The Deep has actually been given a little flavour as being a bit of there's a bit of bone kickers in The Deep, I believe.
Oh my God!
Yeah, well, there we are.
Cartilage kickers.
No, actually, Alison Moore is not here. She's not in the studio today, but we do have Joy Knight.
Hello there. A poor substitute, I know.
Joy, you have your own ident and jingle. We haven't done one for Alison as yet.
Right.
It's very important.
He's never done one for me.
Now, don't get jealous.
It's such
if you ask nicely.
Exactly. It's such a rare treat, Dave, to actually see you in the studio. Well, listen, Alan.
3 years,
that's 15.
Exactly. Anyway, moving on. We were talking about Stephen Moffat. I was talking about Stephen Moffat, in fact, with Graham Harper, and I best not actually go public on the sort of comments that were being made in various ways from that point of view. But, I'll just leave that to you, apart from the fact that there are lots of suggestions that all might not be at its best within the behind-the-scenes team at Cardiff Moat Studios.
Yeah, I've heard that. Cardiff,
Babylon.
Yeah,
I'm pretty well, exactly. However, Stephen, obviously, together with Mark Gatiss and Stephen's wife, Sue, were very much responsible for the revamped Sherlock Holmes for the 21st century, which I thought was a cracking tale, but really didn't need to be called Sherlock Holmes at all. Could have been called something completely different instead.
No, I don't think. I mean, it was very clearly Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the Radio Times is saying, they've updated it by saying that Watson fought in Afghanistan. And as we all know,
Watson did fight in Afghanistan.
But he was confused about whether he was shot in the shoulder or a leg, as far as I recall.
Which I thought was a nice inside joke.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was very good. I thought it was well cast. Mm. I think it was well directed. I think it was well written. The only thing I'd say was it was a bit predictable. I mean, Mycroft Holmes might as well have had Mycroft Holmes, you know, tattooed on his forehead because it's so obvious it was him. Especially when you give that sort of John Steed, you know, government-type pose of the umbrella and the legs crossed. As for the actual serial killer, I think Fiona got it.
Yeah, I got it about 10 minutes in, you know, and I then spent the next 20 minutes shouting, "It's a taxi driver, it's a taxi driver," at the screen every time Sherlock Holmes says, "Now, who could it be?"
But that just means we're geniuses.
Indeed, sir. Or indeed that you have the knack of actually making all of your radio links sound as though you're recording them through a sock, which is great stuff.
I am recording them through a sock. I've decided to use a sock this time round.
Oh.
It's a sock to publicity
to try and negate the sock effect.
Ah.
It's adding more sock, isn't it, really?
It's homeopathy.
Better phone in our house is one of 1980s vintage that I've had since university days and that Alan keeps complaining about the ugliness of.
Who's the clearest, Fiona or me?
Fiona, I'm afraid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm on the 80s phone.
Shouting through a sock. Excellent.
That's what we like. That adds to the quality.
Saw a great film. We've seen a very good film.
Yes, we have.
Yes, it was called Four Lions.
Oh, the interesting take, which of course Chris Morris has actually developed about those fine terrorist people, I'll rephrase that, those interesting terrorist people who sort of attempt terrorist acts but don't quite succeed.
Are useless, yes.
Mm.
But the fact is that a lot of it rang true to life. I mean, for instance...
security forces shooting the wrong man?
Yep. Bombers coming up with a very strange, peculiar, convoluted schemes analogous to...
the underpants bomber?
Yes, or the shoe bomber. Similarly, you know, one of the protagonists is a guy who's got a good job, he's got a wife and his kid, and you've got to kind of ask yourself, they never actually say at any point in the film, what is this guy's motivation? And so, you know, echoing again with the Glasgow suicide bomber, you know, everybody was saying, you know, sort of why would a guy with a medical degree and a nice job and a nice wife and a nice kid, you know, do something like this? And
I think there was some invocation. It was Xbox. He'd done too many Grand Theft Autos.
So would you say that Chris Morris is being resuscitated by this? Will it help his career inevitably, or will people say...
I don't think he ever went away.
Why does he need resuscitating? Everything he's done has been brilliant.
And, you know, when he hasn't been doing his own stuff, I mean, he's done stuff like, helped out on things like the It Crowd, 99th, and so forth.
It Crowd is superb.
So I don't see, his career is in any way in the doldrums.
So I sense it's four thumbs up for Chris Morris then, people.
Four thumbs, four lines.
You skipped away from Sherlock Holmes. Would you say that's worth a series? I mean, there is a suggestion, and I've been talking about it with a couple of people today, that Mr. Cumberbatch could well replace Matt Smith if Matt chucks it in at the end of his second series of Doctor Who.
One too much alike. I'm sorry, but, you know, it'd be like...
it'd be replacing David Tennant with David Tennant.
It'd be like replacing David Tennant with Jarvis Cocker.
I think that the it did come over as a bit Doctor Who, but it's probably because he's sort of like up to his elbows in Doctor Who at the moment. So that's probably why it was. I mean, there was this talk about Matt Smith leaving after Series 2, but I kind of feel, you know, that the Doctor Who is going to end after Series 2. I mean, apparently the original producers wanted to end it after when Tennant left, and it was sort of like extended. And in fact, if you look at it, it's treated like a new series. Series 5 isn't called Series 5 or Series 31 even. It's called Series 1. And all new series, unless it's Bone Kickers, is guaranteed a second season. So I think the reason why... he was contracted for two seasons, and there's always talk about him leaving after two seasons, is because that's when Doctor Who ends. What do you think?
That's a drastic thought, because I do know that Stephen Moffat, in his Doctor Who Monthly column, has said that he still refers to it as season 35 or 36 in his own mind. It was just a kind of marketing tool that effectively he wanted to relaunch it as series one.
Well, I think he's a clever chap. Stephen Moffat, and I think there is this idea that, you know, within the BBC, if it's registered as a series one, you can argue it, can't you? You can say, new title sequence, new Doctor, new Daleks, spit, new writer, new directors, definitely. I mean, there's new companion. I mean, there's so many new things in the show. Effectively, it is a new programme, if you see what I'm saying.
What's the situation in the Knight household with your son Kieran, Joy? I mean, is he warming?
Loves it.
He loves it.
He loves the new Doctor Who. I haven't got into it at all, but Kieran was such a David Tennant fan. He was never going to watch it again. He was appalled, you know. This new guy, does he think he is? Well, he loves it, and he loves the girl in it as well. Sorry, I don't know any of their names, but he's
Amy Pond.
He loves her too, and yeah, he's really into it.
No, I mean, I like it. Some people have been complaining about Amy Pond. I think they're a bit concerned about her.
No.
She seems to be chasing the Doctor, and yet she's married to this other guy.
Yes.
And,
well, it's the 21st century. Such things happen.
Sorry?
It's the 21st century. Such things happen.
Well, no. Having a liaison with a Doctor in the shrubbery on your wedding day is not a 21st century thing.
No, it's just some commitment issues.
But I
it's Hollywood.
The actress I like a lot. I think she's absolutely smashing.
Taryn Gillam.
Yeah, she's very, very beautiful. Lovely redhead, Fiona.
Mm. I think that's what Kieran likes about her. I don't think he's worried about her morals or anything like that. I just think he thinks she's rather pretty.
Luke's probably a good thing. No, I mean, I really think she's matching. I mean, she's one of my favourite companions.
And what about Arthur in his role as Rory?
I think he's brilliant. I think he's an excellent actor. In fact, possibly the best actor of the three. I mean, he's so funny and he's so warm and likeable. I must say, it's the best TARDIS threesome, if you pardon the expression, since Harry, Sarah and Tom Baker.
Really? You see, I would always feel that you could never beat... No, I was thinking Victoria, Jamie and the Patrick Troughton Doctor.
Victoria.
Not Victoria.
Sorry, that woman.
No. It's too much screaming, was there?
She's a very nice person.
Yes.
She's a lovely person, but, I suppose that's a good point, actually. I think Wendy Padbury, Patrick Troughton and Jamie were probably the best threesome.
Definitely.
But then again, of course, you had Hinchcliffe, didn't you, and Robert Holmes, so you had not particularly great stories in season 5, but you had some very, very good stories in season 12. Then again, you did have the invasion, didn't you? That was very good.
And let's not forget, of course, William Hartnell, Ben and Polly.
No.
Let's forget that.
Okay, let's move on. Dave, would you like to share with Fiona wearing her academic hat at Royal Holloway and Alan wearing his Caldor City hat why they should seriously consider getting involved with Bullfest in terms of creating some material for it, and also maybe get involved with one of those Bullfest bloggy type things that can be cashed out there?
Yes.
Is that a cash cow?
It could be a cash cow, I suppose, if you did it right. But it's really C-A-C-H-E, as in a storage place, you know. And I think Alex is thinking of something called geocaching, which isn't geo short for George, as in George Boole, but is for Earth. Earth caching, etc. But I'm sure none of this makes any sense to you. It's all about a guy called George Boole, who was born in Lincoln and invented Boolean logic.
Alex has played a clever trick here.
I like to feel I can bring it in every so often.
Alex has been very clever here because Boolean logic is mentioned in Tomb of the Cybermen, and that's why he's brought that in, isn't it?
Exactly, so.
I know you.
Yeah, well, there we are. Yes.
I still have no idea what Boolean logic is, but it is mentioned in Tomb of the Cybermen.
I remember learning it in fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Impressive.
More educated then.
Yes. Well,
Carry on. Boolean logic.
Well, basically, this guy who invented what underpins all of digital technology, born and lived most of his life in Lincoln, and nobody in Lincoln knows he exists, who he was, what he did. So I'm trying to make him a hero in the city and a hero of Britain. People have heard of Babbage. Some people even know of Ada Lovelace. But almost nobody seems to know that George Boole was English, not French, and came from Lincoln.
Maybe you need to get a day. I mean, Ada Lovelace has got a day.
Yes, well, hopefully Google are going to alter their Googling activities every year for his birthday. Hopefully we're going to get that in train. And we're having a festival up here in Lincoln called Bullfest every year to celebrate the man and his legacy. And one of the things that we're doing is something called geocaching, which is basically people go online and they find some coordinates for their sat-nav, and they then go and find information about George around the city, and they upload it to the internet to prove that they've found all these clues and answered them. So it's a weird thing that has happened over the last decade, I suppose, across the world, that millions of, well, maybe hundreds of thousands of geeks and other similar people have discovered geocaching and are, as we speak, hiding things in various places for other people to find.
Wow.
It's a weird world. Mm.
So on that lovely little bombshell, we shall ask Joy Knight to throw those last two questions to Alan Stevens and Fiona Moore.
Alan and Fiona, have you had an enjoyable chat with us this evening?
As always, yes.
Yes, it was very good.
Great. That's good to
know.
Well
rehearsed.
So you'll be willing to join us again in the future?
Yes, of course.
Excellent.
That depends on Alex.
I think we'll be there. We must sort out these telephones, though. There's cash in a kind of spiritual rewarding sense. You know, that's always there. That's the important thing.
Alex, I'm looking. I'm at the moment looking. Obviously, at the speaker switched off, but it says Siren FM Listen Live.
Yes.
And it says Siren 107.3 FM.
Yes.
It's got all these cyber mats on there. What is that?
Yes, well, you see, those were the original specially designed little mascots. They were, I think, called widgets or widbots or something. We've moved on since then, basically.
Why do they look like cybermats?
They do. I did point that out, but you know, I figured it was, you know, as sometimes my comments are just neglected and they just
ignored.
Yeah, there we are. Still to come, Graham Harper will be with us in a few moments talking about his fantastic award or reward of being provided with the 50th anniversary shows in the Coronation Street series that he's due to be directing towards the end of the year. And of course, up next from Rural TV, Sarah Chase. It's a brazzle dazzle.